Hello, this is Chaz from Quiet Speculation, and you're listening to the QS Cast. If you're a QS subscriber, you're hearing this as soon as it gets published. If you're not a subscriber, you had to wait a few days. If you want to listen to the podcast as soon as it's published, or you just want to know more about Quiet Speculation, go to quietspeculation.com/tour and check out everything we have to offer. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Quiet Speculation Podcast. Tarkan and I joining you. What's up, Tarkan?
Hey.
We are back. Yeah, back. Round two, or part two, I guess. Well, this is more the regular cast. Like we said earlier, we recorded an insider-only segment, so hopefully everybody enjoyed that. But we are going to, you know, switch gears. It's a little more formal and kind of stick to the script. Where I don't accidentally curse, apparently. Now, just a couple points of order before we get into the kind of the meat here is we're switching up the order of the podcast. So we're going to talk about the interest stuff early on in the cast instead of at the end. It's just easier to talk about because it's fresh in our minds. We get to evaluate what we were talking about last week or a couple weeks prior, and we kind of just get that out of the way for people that, you know, may or may not have extra time to listen to the entire cast. So we kind of just, you know, trying to appease everybody here. And going forward, what we're going to try to do is we started an insider Discord channel for people who are subscribed to Quiet Spec. It's been a really big success. Everyone loves being in there. And hopefully, I have to still work out a couple more kinks to kind of record that successfully. But we would like to record the podcasts in Discord so everyone can kind of hear us talking live. It's not going to actually be, like, I guess, live because you're not going to see us. You'll just hear us talking. And we can kind of just get a Q&A session at the end if people want to have questions. And I think that will be beneficial.
Yeah. I think it'd be a lot of fun too. Get some engagement with the audience.
Yeah. All right. So with that said, we're going to just jump into the interests, and after that, we'll talk a little bit about we were both on the Cartel Aristocrats Finance podcast. So thank you for those guys for having us on there. It was pretty fun. It was always fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Good time. They brought up a point that we talked about for the insider-specific podcast that we did talk about it, but we want to add a little bit of an addendum because we figured out that through their distributors, there may be a lot more Modern Masters 2017 product than we alluded to. So we want to just at least highlight that. Just a couple other little things that we talked about. It's not really a busy week, so hopefully between the insider-specific podcast and this, people get enough of us.
Yeah.
So why don't we just jump into interest? No problem. Tarkan, start us off there.
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, we had briefly mentioned it. Well, not briefly. We kind of went into it in the Insider Only cast about kind of standard. And I'm not a huge fan of stuff in standard. So just looking down the interest of the past week, there's a couple of things. And I'm going to start with the reserve list since I haven't really gone into like any like really juicy reserve list picks recently. So there's a couple of that really caught my eye. First one is Imprison. It's from Legends. Chart on this, the graph on this is quite nice. Buy-in is quite low. I think the buy-in's around $4 or $5 right now. Chart's only going up. I could see this being played. I'm not an expert on old school, but I can see this being an old school card. We'll have to have Sig back and get his opinion on that one as an old school card. But it's a very, very low cost. It's a one black mana removal spell, pseudo removal spell. And it's a reserveless card, and I love the chart on this one. It just keeps going up and up. The second one is going to be Opalescence. Opalescence actually was not on the interest page. I'm going to add that. But I noticed this when I was just kind of doing my usual hunting around and research. Opalescence is an awesome kitchen table card. And the chart on this one is once again, really, really nice. Just straight upward trajectory. And buy-in is quite low. And I was actually surprised to see how low the buy-in on this one was. So, those are my two reserve list picks. Can't go wrong, I don't think, obviously. Non-reserve list from straight from interests. I'm really, really liking Overseer of the Damned, which, Chaz, I kind of want to get your perspective here on this one because I know, you know, we were sort of discussing before the cast about the buy-in point. I think this one has more upside. I mean, it did bottom out. I mean, I think the low was, it got down to as low as 50 cents. And we're looking at about a four. Yeah, so that was pretty low, but we're looking, I mean, it's gone up and up. And I think that this has plenty more room to grow. I think we could be looking at a potentially a $10 card here. I really like it because of the whole zombie theme, and zombies are really, really, really popular tribe. It has an effect immediately when it hits the board. And then, you just get to pop out zombies every time, your buddy's creatures die. So, I'm really liking Overseer of the Damned, even at $5. The other one I like is Ruination, which has somewhat of an annoying effect in that it destroys all non-basic lands. And any casual kitchen table player will tell you that there's tons of non-basic lands, so it can be kind of an annoying card. But the chart on that one is also really nice, and I love the buy-in. The buy-in's at, like, I think $2, which this is a single printing from Stronghold. Really fun, really cool effect, unique effect, kind of annoying effect, but the people that like to play these sort of land destruction cards love them. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. And I'd like to hear what you think about Overseer, if you like that one or if you're kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah, I don't know about the trajectory. Like, 8 probably seems like a lot for something like this, but, I mean, it's kind of steadily trending up. I think maybe 6-ish feels a little bit better, but could still continue to trend to $8. It just, is this like a super good high-end card? Like, what is this battling against? So I see it as a very good high-end card in the format. Would have loved these at 50 cents, so obviously I've never even talked about this card before because I didn't really care. Not that I really didn't care, but I wasn't like so vested, but now I kind of see all these commander cards. So kudos to anyone who has been talking about this card since 50 cents.
Yeah.
It's obviously great even right now, and I'd be selling into it. But, $2, I don't really think you can go wrong on that, especially for personal use. But I do still think there's some upside there.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. I like it. I mean, I like it. I think a lot of the, it's the one, it's only, it's from 14. So
yeah, exactly.
It's a little bit older. So I'm kind of liking that. It's 2 years out. Mine from the Commander product is only a year old, but I still think it's a pretty good card.
Well, why don't you tell us what that is, my friend?
Oh, yeah. So my choice was, sticking with Tarkan's theme here, for the Commander-specific product, we try to at least pull from every quadrant here. Mine was Grasp of Fate? Was that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Grasp.
The white one.
Yeah. And it's pretty good in multi. I mean, it's really good in multiplayer. It's an Oblivion Ring that hits one of everything from all your opponents. It's kind of a blowout when it gets destroyed because everyone gets all their stuff back. But unlike Overseer of the Damned, it's been kind of stagnant, which is honestly, it's still a pretty good thing because people are at least buying. It's just not moving the needle yet. But I think this is one that can trend upward because, again, I just think it's a really good removal. But again, it's not as old as Tarkan's pick.
You know, it's so funny because when you talked about this one, I didn't even know it existed. I actually had not heard of this card. I looked at it and I was like, whoa, this is actually really cool. Totally slid under my radar. And I mean, the buy-in is really cheap and I love the effect that this has. The sort of global all-ring thing is really, really cool. So no, I think this is a good one. I really like it. Yeah. I mean, C15, to be honest with you, I think now might be, I mean, Chaz, you were talking, I think now might be a good time to pick up C15 stuff. It's old enough that we're probably, the stuff's probably tanked to its bottom. And yeah, it can be a good time. And I think the trajectory on that one is actually, it has started to creep. It was flat for a while. And which also, when a card is flat on interest, it also means that it's stable. I mean, some people might think that means that there's no demand, but it also means that there's not a lot of volatility to the card. So and this one has started to grow a little bit. So, yeah, I think it's a good one.
Yeah, and like I with everything, not that I give credence to it, but with all this craziness going on and conspiracy theories or what have you, but the big stores, I mean, even when we had some of the vendors on, they do buy stuff like this, especially the product to keep this stuff in stock. So at least, on that level, it's on people's radar to keep in stock.
Yeah.
To that effect, Mystic Confluence, which is also from Commander 2015, I really like. It's basic. It is the best one of the cycle, and is played in pretty much every blue deck. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't play this. It's really good, and it's now the same price as the red one, and I just don't understand why they're the same price, because I think the blue one's the best, like, pretty much hands down.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, you know, this thing started at like $13, $14, so, you know, we're looking at having to return kind of that price point, which, I mean, I guess look, it's pretty amazing, and long term, I don't see why it couldn't climb back up to that point, especially as you're saying, like, it is probably the best, or the most, I would assume it's the most played, at least, of them, right? Do we have data, like EDH rec data? Did you check on that by any chance?
No, it's like I the can most check it while one? You're talking.
Yeah, so I mean, assuming that it is the most played of the confluences, I see no reason why this couldn't ultimately get up to, you know, back up to kind of like $13, $14, which is where it started, and it's at its low now. So, yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, when you look at the red confluence, and it ended up, I think it spiked past the $7 point, I believe, at some point, and then came back, and now, you know, they're the same price. You know, it's kind of like, okay, well, the most played and the most popular one should probably not be matching the price of the lesser played one.
Okay, so since EDH Rec has been tracking, they have Mystic Confluence part of 3,534 decks. So 3,534 to Fiery Confluence's 10-15.
Right. Okay.
So it's like three times the amount.
Right.
Which you know, I'm not surprised.
So, you know,
it just seems a little odd to me.
No, absolutely. And outside of the supply considerations, you know, once we step outside of that, then yeah, I mean, there's no reason why this shouldn't probably start to correct up.
Yeah, well, they were released at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were both in Commander 2015. Right. Now, there is a judge promo for Mystic Confluence, but I don't think that has a bearing on its price.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so stuff that we were talking about prior. So we have, just a recap so far, Ruination, Overseer of the Damned, Imprison, we have Grasp of Fate, and Mystic Confluence.
Now, you know, there's actually one... I had one more that it wasn't a hard pick, but it's one that I think people should be just kind of keeping their eye on, and that's Doomsday. The 6th edition printing is sort of like popping up. I think it's gaining like 2 or 3%. And when I did some research on this one, the Mirage printing, which is the black border, typically black border in for many cards, not all, but for many cards are tend to be more popular than the white border, their white border brethren. But this one has only gone up. I think it's at almost $3 now. It had a bottom of, I think, like 80 cents to it. I think maybe a dollar. But this one I really, really like as well, at least to just kind of keep your eye on. I would definitely log this and be watching it. Super kind of unique effect. You basically exile your whole library except for 5 cards in your graveyard, and then, you know, you can play those cards, and it's really kind of cool, and just the chart on it's really good. So I would be watching this one. I don't know if you should necessarily go out and scoop them all up because it's got 2 printings, but considering the chart, I would be checking them out and keeping your eye on them.
Yeah. No, so you again, we're trying to just grab everything from all quarters. So you have you met your quota for reserve list, but did you talk about Opalescence?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Just double checking. Yep. Spaced out there.
I did. I
been
got
a long
two,
day.
Two reserve lists. It's been a long day, and you know, it's been so long since I've got, like, I think I've called Brain Geyser out multiple times, so I had to come up with like a couple of juicy ones that I really like this time. So, but I am still buying Brain Geysers. So
yeah, you know,
there's
a couple.
That.
A couple now drawing from Modern. A couple things I've noticed. So really, my strong pick, and I mean, we have to use the caveat that there's a Modern Masters coming out, so maybe I'm not super into this yet. I would love to see what's in Modern Masters before I go full gung-ho. Gifts Ungiven, it looks to me to be primed. I mean,
I think we
talked about the 8 creature lists back when we saw, like, SRAM and Baral and Aether Revolt, and, you know, is Cheerios going to be the best, or could, you know, Storm come back because it has 8 of these effects? Well, to me, I think... the needle is leaning toward, the pendulum swinging to Storm. And I think I've seen like 3 times as many deck lists pop up, at least in competitive Modern leagues, you know, trials. So, Storm is at least on the radar again. And that's all due to Baral and Gifts Ungiven, which is a four of, and we've seen that card get to and plateau around like $20-25.
Yeah, and you know, on the cast, we, you know, back at the release of Aether Revolt, you know, we were talking about Baral for Commander and for Modern Storm, which looks like it's coming to, you know, it's playing out as we had sort of thought. So I love this, Chaz. And I think that the key point here, and you know, something we discussed was that when this, you know, this card's had three printings, and when it spiked, I think back in September, it went up to about $20-25, and that was on real demand. That was on tournament-based demand. And now it's dropped back down to $10. Assuming no reprint, which again, we'll, you know, we have to add that in there. Yes, we do have Modern Masters 2017, so don't scoop them up now necessarily. Maybe wait to see the spoilers, but assuming no reprint, even with the three printings, the track record for this card has shown that demand can pop this thing up to $20. There is absolutely no reason, should the Storm deck continue to gain momentum, that this thing can't just pop back up to $20 again, even with the two printings, or reprintings.
Yeah, because, I mean, we were going to talk about this as a point, but I think we should at least just discuss it here. When you look at the three printing or the printings of a card, you have to look at what those printings are. And basically combined between all the three printings of Gifts Ungiven, like barely, I don't even think it would rival a new set. I mean, you have Champions, which is over 10 years old. You have a From the Vault printing, which, like, probably not many of those. And you have a Modern Masters 1 reprint, which is already 5 years old. So, again, I mean, you kind of have to keep that into account. But I think that's a very strong, strong purchase. But again, I would wait for the Modern Masters release to see if it's even in there. But if not, I think all bets are off at that point.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I like
Foil Baral could be interesting. Like we said, it's a really strong commander, and it's already started to show that it's going to be really strong right out of the gate. And it's a four of now in these storm lists, so could be interesting. I mean, they're already pretty pricey. I think they're like $8, but we've seen standard foils increase quite a bit on the back of Modern play.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, over at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page, Brian Dale had made a comment that you know, Aether Revolt is kind of it's another one of these sets that's sandwiched in between. You got Modern Masters, and then you immediately have Amonkhet. It's very possible that Aether Revolt is just not drafted that much. It's not opened as much. I mean, granted, there's still going to be a lot out there. So, I mean, Baral foils, I think they're sitting at like $8. I mean, I wouldn't say go buy them now. We still have a bit of time. Obviously, the set's in print, and you know, you don't want to buy now. But I would definitely keep an eye on these. And if these start to go, you drop even further. I love the foils. I think that's a really good call too.
Yeah, and I think that pretty – one other thing, actually, and it's maybe not super strong on it yet, but it certainly won't be in a Modern Masters. I've seen a lot of streaming, and I've actually seen results of these collected company like Naya value decks that have actually done quite well, and they're packing they're packing collected company, but they're also packing the Renegade Rallier, which is, I mean, amazing. The foil's already pretty pricey on those. Could it be interesting on non-foils, but really what I wanted to focus on is Whisperwood Elemental. They are packing one of those, and it's a mythic from Fate Reforged, so yeah.
Yep.
It's like, I understand it had that dual deck. I think it was a dual... No, it wasn't a dual deck. It was like a... It was one of those supplemental products.
It was, yeah. And I remember it's actually interesting because that one had...
Was that a dual deck?
I might have been. I can't. Or was it a clash pack? Before, did they get
clash pack? Clash yeah, pack that was it. Yeah, that was it.
It's funny, Chazzy. I don't know if you remember. You probably don't remember this, but back when we were talking, when we were first talking in the Facebook group, you and I had actually talked about that one being a really hot pick back in during that standard period. And I remember I specifically bought a bunch. This is kind of off topic, but I bought a bunch, and then that clash pack came out, and I got hit so hard. But the price on that Whisperwood tanked, and it has tanked. I mean, it's damn near a bulk mythic at this point. So you can't go wrong picking it up, and especially if it's starting to get played in these decks. Like, yeah, I think that there's no reason why you couldn't get them now.
This was once a $15 mythic. Can you believe that?
Yes, I remember. That was back during standard.
I mean, at this point, it can't go any lower. I mean,
yep.
So if it sees any kind of play, the needle's going to pick up at least a little bit. I mean, this is not like a slam dunk like $5, but I mean, even if it increases to a few bucks, I mean, it's already a win because these things are like so cheap. And the foils are more interesting because obviously there's less foils because they didn't print those in the dual deck, but or what have you. But those are only $4. You could probably get them for like $3. So that could be interesting. Yep.
Speaking of like foils, I think you had a couple of things that you were just sort of casually picking up that you on the foil side that you really kind of caught your eye. Did you want to mention those at all?
Yeah. Or? So normally I don't. I mean, I like this. I like certain sales on Star City Games, so I don't really know what compelled me, but I had store credit, and I was telling you. So I went ahead and bought 4 of the foil versions of Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker.
Yep.
Not really expecting it to go anywhere anytime soon, but I mean, just I don't know, $4, like $4 and some change plus the shipping, so we'll call it $5 for a pretty good planeswalker. I mean, I've seen this sometimes in EDH. I've actually seen it in some of those blue red or white red prison lists in Modern, actually, which is kind of surprising. Yeah, I've seen it as like a 2 of or a 1 of, so it's actually kind of interesting. I don't know, man. I just These planeswalkers can't be that bad. And I know there's a ton of them because it's Khanza Tarkir, but still. I mean, the foils just seem like so cheap to me.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, I feel like any of these planeswalkers that are under 4 or around $3 or even less, I mean, $3 or under $4, I don't see why you – I mean, I think these are some of the best long-term holds. I mean, you know, we talk about stuff that we – you know, we don't really like to keep stuff long term, but if you know, if you're going to buy stuff, you know, and yeah, I think that these could get reprinted in a commander set at some point or somewhere. But man, I mean, any planeswalker that is under $3 is probably just too cheap. I mean, you had put it before the cast, you had mentioned the example of Tybalt, which Tybalt has for the longest time was always the marquee crappy, you know, planeswalker that just was worthless. And that thing's even like, I think, $5 or maybe pushing a little bit
something
more at this
like
point.
That. Yeah, even a little some change, I think. Yeah.
And it has, I think it had a promo or something, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Or maybe it didn't.
Yes, it did. It did.
Yeah. So, you know, and granted, that's, I mean, Tybalt's much, much older, but, you know, if you're talking about stowing things away in a closet, planeswalkers that are cheap are just, you cannot go wrong. I mean, especially something like Sorin, something like, you know, the Sarkhan. I mean, these are things, I mean, Sarkhan has a dragon sort of element to it. So, yeah, no, I think that if you're going to be – I think if you want to buy planeswalkers, these are not bad at all. I think you can just buy these and just throw them in the closet, and then in a few years, they'll probably be – they've probably gone up a few dollars.
Yeah, I mean, the downside is you can't put them in Atraxa, but, you know, it's still pretty good.
Well, right.
Man, this was a $40 card at one time, man.
Yep.
$35.
Standard.
$40. My goodness, that is just crazy to see those graphs, man. I'm just like, wow.
The power of standard.
Wow, that is – yeah, so I think that wraps up interests. We did touch on a couple of the topics that we wanted to talk about, like, just regularly, but, you know. I think that's everything we wanted to talk about with interest. So, moving along with that, again, the addendum that, again, we were on the Cartel Finance podcast, and they were telling us through their distributors that it's pretty much an open season on this set.
Yeah, which, that's concerning. I mean... look, you know, when, you know, and it, with the other cast, we had kind of gone into that, and I, you know, we briefly discussed about maybe, you know, what kind of opportunity might be there, and, you know, if this is the kind of thing where, you know, we don't know if it's a conspiracy level print run where it's damn near unlimited, but if this is more than Modern Masters 2015, I would be much more concerned about, you know, what's going to happen with these cards, and you know, I think that. Because there's no major events built around it, yeah, that's a sign that maybe the set's just not that interesting. Could be a sign that maybe this, it could be a balancing act. Maybe the set is quite interesting. They want people to have enough access to it, therefore they don't want to, you know, blow it out with a big event. But I just don't see that as the case. I feel like this set's not, I don't want to say lackluster, but I just don't know how exciting it's going to be considering there's no major events around it. And if it's got a higher print run than 2015, then you got to be really careful. The main reason being is that. If the set were to come and go and no one really cares, but there's tons of it, then, you know, when prices start to go up, it's just so easy for them to crash back down simply because there's just plenty of inventory that's sitting around. That's what happened with Conspiracy, right? Like there wasn't enough immediate demand to sustain cards from going up and holding prices. It was just because you could just constantly just keep opening more and more. So I don't know, Chaz. I mean, what do you think with this sort of new intel? Like,
Well, I mean, you're exactly right. And it's the fact that there's such sheer quantity, and like they were telling us that they can go right to Wizards and go buy like 100 boxes of Conspiracy and they'll be there like within a week, from what Ed was telling us. But I mean, that's just what it is, and that's really what is keeping some of these marquee cards like Leovold from just surging right on past like $80. So it's because of that sheer supply that some of these cards are going to get capped off and even depress some of these prices. I mean, I think Leovold's kind of back down in like the $35 range, kind of just depressed a little bit once people realize, like, dude, I can crack these for profit. You know, when you have $60 Leovold. But I mean, you're absolutely right. So I'm not too excited about Modern Master sets in general, but I think the prospect of what is not in Modern Masters is more paramount than it usually is,
Absolutely.
because if there's a ton of these, then you don't even want to touch that stuff at least for a while, and or like really quickly, and then hopefully they just, you know, recover. But I'd be more interested in what's not showing up.
Or, you know, you could also, I mean, you could also buy in at the low. I mean, if there's a ton of this stuff that's open, it's more than 15, then stuff's going to crash so hard that there will be a buy-in point, where, you know, it, for some of this stuff that it'll be okay. But again, my biggest concern here is not even necessarily unlimited print run, but if it's the kind of thing where, because modern demand has sort of waned and so much support has been pulled back, that I am concerned that it's similar to Conspiracy, that there's just boxes of this stuff sitting around because there wasn't enough immediate demand to open up the bulk of it. You know what I'm saying? And that's my biggest problem with this, is that, oh, like, let's say, you know, even a year goes by and we're like, great, now we can, you know, take a look at Modern Masters 2017 or 2017 cards, and maybe we can, and then all of a sudden, you know, distributors go, oh, well, we've got pallets of this still sitting around. Go ahead and crack it open, and then, you know, you're stuck holding the bag. So.
I mean, I still see boxes of Modern Masters 2015 on eBay for like the same price they were when they first came out. Like, I don't know. I mean, it was a really bad one, but I don't know. I'm just not super hyped. I mean, obviously the best of the best, like even the printing of like, I'll just use this for example, like Fulminator Mage in 2015 couldn't keep it down. So, I mean, if you see that kind of opportunity in a marquee card like that, I would still take the chance that they rebound. But again, it's more paramount to focus on what's not reprinted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, I just want to add that I personally do not believe there's going to be fetch lands in this set. I don't know. I think you're in the same position, but, you know, if you want to speak on that, you can. But I don't. I just think that it's possible they're in a supplemental set. I just don't think it's going to be in this one. You know, the question of whether or not they reprint them in standard, if you had to ask me, I would say that those are the kinds of things that they would definitely put in standard. However, with this, you know, we're hearing a lot more that they really just don't like the shuffling on camera, and they don't like that kind of effect. So maybe not, but if you ask me, these are cards that are print, you know, get reprinted in standard. They're not cards that they throw into a supplemental just because of the value that they carry. So if it is going to be in a supplemental, I don't think it's going to be this one.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see any lands, but if I had to choose a cycle, I could see them putting in the filter lands. At least
I
like
think that's, yeah.
not all of
I think
them,
that's
but at
correct.
least like choose a few of them.
I
Like
think that's
one of
correct.
like the maybe the either the allied or the enemy. I don't think both. Although that'd be kind of weird. I don't know. Maybe they
I
have all
agree
of them.
because
Who knows?
it also kind of goes along with, you know, they have this sort of trend of they love to include, you know, casual EDHE kind of car things that can sort of slot into both formats. And so that would definitely fall in line with that. So I could see that as being the cycle if they decide to do a land cycle. They also have they haven't never done a land cycle, have they, before?
No, not in the
They've
master
done
sets.
lands, but not a land cycle. So I think that's a good call.
Is there really anything else? I mean,
It's yeah, you
I
know,
don't think so.
it's been
Yeah, it's been a
slightly
little
quiet,
quiet,
somewhat of
yeah.
a quiet week. And honestly, you know, we talked about some bigger picture things in the Insider Only cast.
Yeah, and I don't really feel
So
like, I mean, it's not really pertinent to rehash all that anyway, so.
exactly, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think we hit our mark on this. Might be a little shorter, but again, at least for the insiders, they kind of have this and their own you know, segment. So hopefully everyone can at least enjoy this, that the people that are non-insiders
You
as
know, there was
well.
one thing I did mention in the Insider Only cast that I actually would like to mention this one as well, which is, you know, this has kind of been the in the picks cast where we talked about a lot of picks. And we, you know, we track interest a lot, but I really want to stress that it's important that everybody tracks buy list, gains and losses as well as the interest page. If something is consistently grown on buy list, that shows that there's some very real demand. And there's a lot of cards that don't show up on interest that you find on large vendor buy lists like CK buy list or one of the other large vendors that consistently is growing and they're buying and the price is going up. And those are cards you really want to pay attention to as well. So I just want to stress that because we talk about interest a lot on this, but I also want to make sure that everybody, you know, you should also be tracking buy lists as well.
Well said. Anything that you've required just out the door, other than that, or from me, I mean, I already said like those Sarkhan foils, good thing is I was selling a lot of that standard stuff that I was been acquiring over the last few weeks, like Winding Constrictor, Toolcraft Exemplar, like all that stuff is out the door now, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, you've pretty much cleared. I mean, I've cleared out almost all of the stuff from standard that I had post Pro Tour as well.
Yeah,
so,
I think the last bit of stuff I have is Scrap Trawlers. So here's the open.
Okay.
and my spicy choice from the Insider Only, which I'm sorry. Sorry.
We'll leave that one be.
Yeah. That I just acquired, but yeah. All right. Nice. I think that's going to wrap it up for the QS cast this week. Tarkan's been great. We got run ragged this week, but we had to make it up to everybody. We had to make it up.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. We'll if we've got conflicts in the future that we're aware of, we'll make sure to have a guest on something so we don't miss another week. So apologize to everyone. That was my fault. I had travel commitments that caused us to have a delay. So thanks, guys, for hanging with us. And Chaz, you want to do a sign off?
Yeah. So where can they find you on the internet, Tarkan?
I am at @the_Tark, T-A-R-K, on Twitter. I do admin work over at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me anytime over there, and I work with QS.
Yeah, so the best place to find me is Twitter at ChazVMTG. You can find my content on Quiet Speculation, insider articles, spoiler articles, the Quiet Speculation podcast, pretty much everything you could think of. And you can find me at the MTG Goldfish podcast. I also do that as well. So, yeah, Tarkan, great cast. We will do this again next week. And
talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you all next time.
All right, thanks, guys.